Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is the Senior Charge from our 2013 Senior Sunday. Today's episode is presented by Alan Carr and Johnny Bond. So let's tune in now for today's message.
We do like to take just a few moments after we present our seniors to what is in your bulletin called a Senior Charge. A little bit of a challenge, a little bit of a commission to our seniors. And every year, I like to remind you, this is to the seniors, and we're going to be speaking a little bit, and we thank you for letting us do that a little bit specifically to our seniors this morning. And Johnny and I are going to say a few things, and we at times are going to speak directly to our seniors, but this is for all of us, and it's something I think we all need to hear. God does not want to use you. That's kind of a weird thing to say in church. And it may be, maybe I'm arguing semantics, but God does not want to use you. It's one of these things we say, and we say a lot as Christians. We say things, we use phrases or little pithy sayings, and sometimes they're very appropriate, and they come from these really good places. We mean a lot for them. We have really good intentions, but sometimes our language betrays us a little bit. And I want you to think this morning, maybe this word betrays us a little bit, because I don't think God wants to use you. You know, when we say that, we could mean several things. Normally, it's very good. Normally, what we're talking about is that we believe God is up to something big and huge. And so we talk about wanting to be included in that, wanting God to use us, because we want to just be caught up in the big and the important thing that God is doing. And so we'll say things like, I hope God uses me in this way. Or, you know, hey, I just want to be used by God. That's a pretty good intention. But I think it falls a little short. The other thing we might mean is maybe a little bit of false humility sometimes. Someone gives you a compliment and you say, I just want to be used by God. You know, so there's several things that we could mean, and it's all good intentioned. But I want you to think this morning that maybe discipleship of Jesus Christ is a lot more than simply being used. Think about the names God calls you. You are his beloved. We are called friends of God. The one that really means a lot to us today, you are a child of God. Who in the world would use their beloved? Who in the world would use their child or their friend to use them and manipulate them? That's not what God is doing. You were created to be so much more than used. You're not pew fodder. You're not a cog in a big machine. God didn't create you with all your talents and gifts and passions and love and energy so he could just use those up because he's so selfish. God created you because he wants a relationship with you. God did not rescue you. God did not redeem you. God did not delight in you just so he could use you. Because that's not what God is about. God does not want to use you. He wants to be with you. What a powerful thing. Listen to this phrase from Isaiah 7:14. It's right there in the name of God. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's so powerful in the mind of Matthew that he uses it right towards the beginning of his gospel. He quotes that because there's this huge shift that we see with Jesus from God being in a place, God being on the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant, being in the Holy of Holies in this place in Jerusalem, to now God being with us through Jesus and now the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful turn. What a beautiful twist in history. God is no longer there. God is with us. It's this big, huge point about who Jesus was and what he was trying to show us. God does not want to use you. God wants to be Emmanuel with you. God with us. Not God to us, not God for us, not God managing us or working us or manipulating us or puppeteering us or even using us. But wherever we go, God with us. What a beautiful picture. In the big and the little and the important and the mundane, God with us. What God is doing in this really powerful, beautiful way is inviting you, no matter where you go, to be with him, to create, to make, to lift others up, to do, to be with him no matter what. You are a disciple. You are made in his image. You get to walk around this earth with no shame because God is with you. So when you go do the things you do, don't do them out of obligation, like you are just performing a task in some great big machine that no one really is ever going to notice. Like you're playing a role just to be used up and kind of forgotten. You go do what you do with the joy that comes from being with a God who desires to be with you every step of your walk.
There are stories that abound throughout Scripture where we see examples of this. We can see it, and not just in the New Testament. It's not just a New Testament idea. When Alan and I were talking about this, the first thought that came to my mind was the story of Ruth. Not Ruth Kaiser, but Ruth. That she was a woman from outside of the country, from outside of the lineage. And she decides, when her husband dies and her mother-in-law is going back to Israel, she decides to go with her, to be a stranger in a strange land. She looks at her mother-in-law and it's very similar to the words that Peter spoke to Jesus. Where else would I go? What else would I do? You are my blood. And she comes, and it's a beautiful story of restoration and redemption, of just God walking with someone and actually using a physical body to do it. It's stepping into the gap. It's walking alongside. But there are other examples. There are other examples in Scripture. My favorite prophet of the minor prophets is the prophet Amos. I love Amos because he just steps into an area where he is seen. There's that part when it describes Elijah that says that Elijah just showed up before the king one of these days. Amos was very much like that. He was a guy that was just called out of what he was doing every day. And that's the beauty of walking with God. Of having Christ with you, to go along with you in your journey, because he's going to be distracted. There's not some giant 5-year plan, 6-year plan, 10-year plan. God is going to notice things along the way. Christ is going to notice things along the way. The Holy Spirit's going to stir up inside you along the way things that are going to detour you. Things that are going to take you outside of your degree plan, outside of the plans your parents have set down before you. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to wonder, what am I doing? And you're going to be able to say, much like Amos was able to answer one of his critics, he says, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son. I was just a shepherd, and I took care of a sycamore fig tree. But the Lord took me from tending the flock, and he said to me, go and tell my people Israel. Nowhere is this more evident in Scripture than in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have these wonderful stories, and names are named. Great names, names that we look up to, names that we take great comfort in. Because more than just the story about God or about Christ, it's about the story that Christ is walking with us in. At the end of Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about great people who conquer kingdoms with faith, who shut the mouths of lions, who quench the fury of the flames and escape the edge of the sword. But he also talks about people who face jeers and flogging and are stoned and put to death. The journey that lies before you, the journey that you're being invited to step out on your own now and begin to develop your own faith, to be able to stand firmly on the cornerstone that is Christ is because He is with you. You've been able to do mighty things because your parents stood with you. Most of you said that in your statements. But now you will do even greater things than these, because they're no longer protecting you from God either. It's just you and Him. And you begin to walk. And someday, you will be added to the great cloud of witnesses. So pray. Listen. And follow the Christ who walks with you.
I've written you a letter. We used to mark things with letters. And now I think we're starting to lose that in this world of texting and 140 characters and hashtags and Facebook and short little thoughts. But to mark an occasion with a large section of deep thought. And so I've written you a letter. And so I'd like to read it for several reasons. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read this, and I want you to hear it. So this is to our seniors. Dear seniors, sit up straight. If you've gotten anything in your hands, put it down. I don't want you to be distracted. These words are important. I want these words to move past your ears and your brain and make that crucial trip all the way down into your heart. Are you ready? You are loved. Hopefully today, more than most days, you're reminded of that, aren't you? You're loved and you are free. There's no room for shame here because you are surrounded by family. So hear these words in the safety and warmth that we surround you with today. I commission you. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, I commission you for the work of His gospel. I commission you as a minister of the Lord Jesus to live in this world as an ambassador of His kingdom. I commission you in the work of serving your neighbor and of loving everyone you come into contact with. You are a minister of reconciliation, and your work from now on is to put things right, to bring people who are far off back close to the heart of their Creator. I pray that in this work you will come to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep the love of Christ really is. I pray that God will fill you with peace that passes all understanding. I pray that no matter where you go, that you will be drawn into community that is so deep and rich and diverse that you will disagree and argue and fight. And I pray that you will choose to remain in fellowship together anyway. I pray that you will bring laughter and tears and prayers to others. I pray that you will have your feelings hurt and have your toes stepped on, and that you'll still choose to forgive. I pray that you will be given the gift of realizing you were wrong about some things. And I pray that you'll be quick to seek forgiveness when you're the transgressor. I pray for full houses, for messy living rooms, for kitchen counters lined with dishes, and for late nights filled with welcome guests. I pray that you will be blessed with a small but mighty band of brothers and sisters to call on when the weight of the world presses in against you. I pray that you would be quick to show up at the right time for another person. And may you call one another family. I call you to joy. I set you apart in your average, in the everyday of your life, for the work of liberation and of love. I call you to proclaim the gospel, not just with your voice, but with your hands and your feet, with your eyes and with your ears. I call you to proclaim this gospel to every soul under your care and influence. May your heart long for the scriptures, and may your soul long for conversation with God. May you be able to sit alone in silence with Him and find peace. May you keep secrets. May you share your meals and your money and your time. May you make room in your life to be inconvenienced and put out. May you hold babies and comfort the dying. May your words be seasoned with grace, with wisdom and goodness. May you be the living embodiment of Jesus for just a few people. I pray that no matter your tool or method, whether preaching or cooking or writing or teaching or building or organizing or mothering, that you will walk in the knowledge of the sacredness and purpose of your calling. I pray that you will feel the leading of the Holy Spirit and never forget how the Father is so incredibly fond of you. I pray for discipline and perseverance. I pray that when you're worn out, when you're discouraged, when you feel like all your efforts fall short, when you feel small and worthless, that you will never, never, never give up. This ministry, this work, this calling begins right now. Look your life right in the eye. This is who you are. And if in the future you find yourself surrounded by sticky-handed toddlers or the failing hands of the elderly, or if you look up and discover you're in a church or an orphanage or a hospital or a school or a back alley or a battlefield or in your own kitchen, if you're given influence over thousands or only a single solitary person, you are a minister of Jesus Christ. Feel it deep in your heart. Say the words and let them roll off your tongue. You have been commissioned for the work of the gospel. In Christ Jesus, you have been called. I send you out today to do this work. I send you out on the spot where you are right now. You are right where you belong. You have everything you need. And we will walk this calling out together, because no matter where you go, we're church. We are family. And we share this calling with you. You will never, ever, ever be alone. It has become our habit to say a prayer over the seniors. The same prayer, they're ancient words. It's called the Shield of St. Patrick. And they're beautiful. They mean a lot to me, and so I like to share them. So I'm going to ask the seniors to stand. If you would. Everybody stand up. There you go. But not today. I want everybody to stand. This is not their calling, it is yours. You have been commissioned as a minister of reconciliation in the kingdom of God. So this prayer goes out over all of us this morning. And may you hear it, may the words sink in, and may God's blessing be upon us. So church, arise today through the mighty strength of God. Through belief in the Trinity. Through oneness of the Creator of creation. God's might to uphold you. God's wisdom to guide you. God's eye to look before you. God's ear to hear you. God's word to speak for you. God's hand to guard you. May Christ shield you today against poisoning, against burning, against drowning, and against wounding. Christ with you. Christ before you. Christ behind you. Christ in you. Christ beneath you. Christ above you. Christ on your left and Christ on your right. Christ in the eye of everyone who sees you. Christ in the ear of everyone who hears you. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of you. Arise today in the name of Christ, and you will not be stopped. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Father, it is the day when we talk about each other, but we are talking about you because you are with us. Father, you are with us this morning. What a powerful thing that we take for granted when we're doing our mundane work of our lives, that it's not just in this room or in the Bible classrooms or anywhere else that is in particular, but wherever we go, you are with us. You are behind us and in front of us and surrounding us. Father, we thank you for these seniors today. If they remember nothing else from being involved in this body of Christ, may they take with them the knowledge, the joy that comes from knowing that you are with them. Father, these ancient words we pray because we believe them and we believe you care about what goes on in our lives. We believe you have set good works out in front of us to do for these seniors and for every single person in this room. May we all leave this place today, understanding that we have been called and commissioned and set apart, and we wear the name of Jesus because you are with us. We pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated.